Well, welcome again to another end of the week conference call. Corn didn't disappoint this week, up 4 cents for the week. One thing this week was lacking was news out of China. They were on vacation until, or on holiday until yesterday. But one thing was apparent that's missing in exports this week. There was only one vessel going to inspections going to China off the PNW. Now, we've heard several rumors this week that there was up to 7 different vessels sold to China this week off PNW, but none of that has showed up so far. Export inspections were off a little bit from the previous week at 1.3. Not bad. We need to continue that type of pace. We don't really need any hiccups. We did have a hiccup this week on the river system, obviously with the weather. Peoria North shut down. Fleeting problems in St. Louis caused a lot of those places to shut down as well. So obviously some winter weather affecting the two arrives there. Winter weather also affecting natural gas, as obviously anybody that's turned on the news has seen about Texas and the issues in the South. That's also had an effect on ethanol plants, as several plants slowed their grind. Some plants were forced to actually shut down, but several plants slowed down their grind, sold out their natural gas position, tried to take advantage of that situation. I had one guy tell me that the equivalent of where he sold out his natural gas position was equivalent to grinding $300 a bushel corn. So makes sense that you would switch that over. Worldwide, we did have Cordonnier. He did raise the South American, the Argentina crop 1 million tons to 45.5. South American weather continues to be mixed. We've got a pretty slow pace, obviously, for corn planting in Brazil. They're at 20, the Safrina crop is 21% planted versus 63% a year ago, and 47% average. This is the slowest pace in more than 5 years. In Argentina, still continues. They are getting some a little bit of rain, but the forecast continues to be dry, although not too extremely warm. There is calls for some rains in first part of March for Argentina, but we'll see if those weather models change over the next week. The other big thing this week was the USDA Ag Outlook. They came out, kudos to Wayne, who with his 182 combined acreage of corn and soybeans, they came out with 92 million acres of corn. The trade was looking for 92.9, but the market didn't react too friendly to that, really. I think a lot of that was already cooked in. With their numbers today, really kind of surprised that the USDA kind of stuck their foot out there and showed some pretty aggressive demand. As of late, they've been pretty shy to show, aggressive demand, and they did with their feed number at 5.85 billion and ethanol at 5.2 versus 4.95 this year, and exports at 2.65. So, that's going to leave us 1.552 ending stocks, which is 10.3, which is exactly where they've got us pegged for the 2021 crop as well. So, be interesting to see. The ratio still, I think, is at a 2.58. There is a little bit of, especially on the fringe areas, incentive to plant soybeans. Was talking with a producer in central Iowa, actually kind of in the derecho area. And after looking at crop insurance for corn and soybeans both, he's going to go corn on corn for this next year. So it's still, when you're in the heart of the corn belts, it's still pencils for corn. Speaking of crop insurance, the average so far is 454. So unless we totally collapse prices here in the next week, looks like we're going to be, above 450 for the spring price. It was 388 last year. That's the highest since 2014, when the spring price was 462. The export sales came out this morning, decent, 1.1 million tons. To note, there was zero to China. But we should, we should see some China sales next week. One other thing I wanted to kind of point out from a basis standpoint is very mixed basis. Obviously, where plants were slowing down, basis was a little weaker. Where plants were still kind of locked into their natural gas and couldn't get out of position, and there was weather effect. We saw a little bit of a push to kind of get guys to bring in some spot delivery stuff. As far as the river, I worked several years on the river, and I've never quite seen the disparity in bids on the river. SIF is probably one of the most transparent markets there is, and you've got 7 and 8 cent bid differences for February bids, and let's just say to the least that China owned company is one of the leaders of the bids, and everyone else is kind of hanging behind there. But like I said, it's kind of interesting to see that kind of disparity between the bids every night this week, and showing who's pushing for the corn and who's kind of sitting back there. Spreads, interestingly enough, moved in 2.5 cents here this week. Traded in as far as to even money for March, May. I think we've mentioned this last week on the conference call. I wouldn't get too cute with it, and depending on your level of nervousness, I think we can get into a 1-2 cent carry. We are above delivery, but I wouldn't like I said, I wouldn't get too cute with it, and if you're just trying to get stuff rolled over, just probably have an order in there, even money, and just to get her done. Gunner, how about soybeans?
Thanks, Brent. March beans on the week settled at 13.77 and a quarter. That's up 5 and a quarter for the week. March meal was down 2.90 on the week, settling at 4.24.30. And March oil had a big week, 47.55. Interestingly enough, I think palm, I forgot where my notes were, but I think palm on the week was actually down 2. Yeah, down 2 on the week at 35.22. We saw the Chinese market. Actually, the bean oil market on that daily on exchange, that made, I'm not sure if it made, it definitely made new contract highs. I don't know if it made, I don't think it made all-time new highs. But that's definitely the leader on that daily on exchange. So, crush margins on the week up a nickel at 79 and a quarter. So, that's real good money for these guys. News for the week, I had Gianopa come out. That was a big figure, 184.645. You assume a 195 for NAS. It was a new record for the month of January. We almost eclipsed the October record of 185.2. So, again, incredibly strong crush. When you look at that number, we're running about 26.5 million bushels ahead of a seasonal pace to make the USDA number of 2.2 billion. Brent mentioned a little bit about the natural gas with ethanol. I'm assuming that also has affected the crushing facilities. So we should see a slowdown, maybe somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 8 million bushels for the month of February. I'm guessing, probably the crush, when you include February, we're probably running 20 million bushels ahead of the pace that we should be on. So South American news for this week. First 10 days, we'll get a new sales and shipment report out of Brazil. I believe it's coming out on the 26th, but so far for the first 10 days, we've seen Brazil only ship 550,000 tons. I've seen a couple of private groups have that estimate up to 1.9 million tons for this week. We'll see if we get that number next week. Again, there are pretty lofty expectations for shipments out of Brazil. What I can tell you is wait times, at least in the southern part, Paranaguay, anywhere from 14 to 30 days. It's a little bit shorter in the northern arc or northern regions, those private berths and docks, but not by much. EMEA quoted early this week the Mato Grosso bean harvest at 22%. It was 58 a year ago. And some people are saying that Mato Grosso approaching 28% this week. You know, the only other thing I could tell you with Brazil is there are a couple. I saw a story out, a comment on beans, harvesting beans at 28% moisture. And I was like, oh, my goodness. They ran a story on Paraguay. Paraguay, they cut their crop. Paraguay had a crop of, I think it was 10.7, I believe. No. They're down to 10.2. They're down to 10.2. So, and Argentina, Buenos Aires Grain Exchange came out yesterday. They left the crop unchanged at 46. And condition ratings dropped by 3% for the week. So they're back down to 20%. Just to give you an idea, a year ago they were 66. So, let's see, Brent talked about the forum. Forum gave us the Outlook Forum, they gave us bean acres at 90 million acres. They had a yield of 50.8 that gave us production of 45.25, exports of 2.2, crush of 22.10. You know, that's versus exports of 22.50 this year. I will point out that on the last S&D, when you take a look at major exporter stocks, they are going to be smaller this October 1st than last October 1st. And the first thing that comes to my mind is we'll probably have a bigger export program, at least to start out with, you know, not according to these numbers. So you take a look at bean sales. So they had a crush of 2,200 and stocks of 120. So that's versus I think that's probably right where the guesses are, right where the guesses are. You take a look at sales this morning, they were 16.8 million bushels year to date, about almost eclipsing to 2.2 billion or at 21.99.5. We only need to average 1.8 million bushels per week. We got, I think it's 28 weeks to go. You take a look at a 10-year scatter, it's crazy. We're at 2.4. And the dilemma I have is, again, when you take a look at that rest of the world figure, you got China right now. They are currently at 35.9 million tons. This past week was the smallest net gain we have seen this marketing year. It was only 20,000 tons, but it was still a positive number. So we haven't seen, you know, them cancel stuff yet. Back in 16-17, they took 36.7. So again, we're at 35.9, let's say. You take a look at their outstanding commitments, it's about 1.9 is what we have to ship. And you take a look at the unknown category, and it's just under 3. The dilemma I have is when I look at the bean demand picture, and I take the world less China and unknown, in the past 5 years, from this point going forward, the rest of the world has taken anywhere from 9.1 to 15.4 million tons from this point going forward. And again, if we assume that it's this 9.1 figure and you take the 3 out of unknown, that leaves us with 6 million tons. Well, 6 million tons times 36.74, that's 220 million bushels. Again, you know, we're already at 22. We cannot do that, folks. So, you know, and I think that's why the scatter is showing 2.4 right now. You know, our exports are running 150 ahead. I told you earlier in the conversation that crush is probably running 20 and ahead. And again, you know, we're dealing with a stocks figure of 125. So that's about all I know. Wayne?
Thank you, Gunnar. I'll just add one thing. The lineup in Brazil at 15 million tons this year compares to 8.7 on this date a year ago. So they got a lot of stuff backed up there, no question about it.
Yeah. And I think that's why we saw the break in their
premiums.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, going to wheat, the three wheats here in Chicago, Kansas City, and Minneapolis were up 13 to 16 cents, depending on which one you looked at this week versus last week. They started the day rallying on fears of freeze damage in the High Plains, Southern High Plains. And they broke and gave a lot of that back, and they've just meandered around. Prices have meandered around since then. World prices are all very, very close together. The 12.5 pro Russian 12.5 is offered theoretically at $283, and that's exactly where soft red and hard red wheat 11.5 pro wheat was today. So, and if you look at German wheat, it was 282. Romanian wheat was 283, and Ukrainian was 283. So the world likes 283. We are now into the small export tax in Russia, February 15th. The big one kicks in on March 15th. And right now there aren't any offers beyond, I don't think there are any beyond the end of February, because Russia, some exporters are already caught for some of the wheat that they actually had sold and loaded but didn't get shipped before the February 15th date, and they're probably going to owe a tax on that, even though that's not what the rules were to start the week with. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens from now on over there. The big news here, or the big fear here, was the freeze in the U.S. I sent out a special report on Monday. Didn't want to waste a whole holiday, and concluded that there may be some places in Texas, Central Texas, the area from Abilene to Fort Worth down towards, say, Waco, was pretty cold, and there wasn't a lot of snow there in some places. So the Ag Department said there might have been 13% of the winter wheat frozen. The crop last year was 61.5 million bushels, and 70 million the year before. So if you take 13% of 65, it's somewhere around 10 million bushels will be affected. And that's sad for the farmers whose land it's on, but it's not a big deal for the hard red wheat crop. There also may have been some places in Kansas that in which, although there was recorded snow of an inch on the ground, there could have been a lot of wind that carried a lot of that away, and there could be some damage there. Well, the first chance we had to see anything there is the state report on conditions on the 24th, and then there's another one right on the 1st of May or 1st of March. So we'll get some gauge on that, but I don't think that there's been any major change in the potential for the crop at this point. The Black Sea went through one day of very cold weather. If there was anything lost, it was in eastern Ukraine. My guess is you're talking, if anything was lost, it's 3-5% of the crop. Again, not a big deal from what we know now. Ukraine's statistical service put out its estimate of winter wheat plantings and winter barley and oats planting there, which were higher than what the econ minister had measured or had suggested back in early December. If the stat service is right, they will increase plantings of winter wheat by 6.5%. It's the vast majority of the crop. But by my calculations, the crop could end up being around 27.5, which would be up million metric tons, which would be up 2.3 from the previous year. And if Russia is still lower than a year ago, the Black Sea still will be losing some wheat. The two premier private forecasters in Russia, Savakhan, lowered his estimate of the potential crop for next year to 76, whereas Ikar, citing good improvement in Stavropol, raised his from near 77 to 78. So you can take your pick on that one. I'm sticking with 77 for now versus an 80, roughly 86 million ton crop last year. The only other news that I think is really interesting is that within the last 2 weeks, China bought a very large quantities of new crop barley from both Canada and Ukraine. And I'm talking about going out into next fall and possibly into early 2022. The prices they paid or were required to pay by the exporters who offered it were above feed wheat prices. And that's you hardly ever see that when there is ample supply of barley and ample supply of wheat. And wheat prices are somewhat elevated right now because of what happened and has happened in the Black Sea. But the implication of that is that if that continues, then feed wheat is going to take over some of the feeding that barley has been doing in the last 2 years in those two places. So, you know, we're getting some upward pull on the price of wheat from China's interest in new crop barley. I also think that has some implication for the potential of new crop corn sales to China at some point. I think it's a little early on that one, but if they're continuing to do what they've done in the last few months around the world in barley, then it may be a harbinger, early harbinger of something coming in corn. I don't know for sure. That's all I've got today, guys. I hope everybody has a good weekend.
Thanks, Wayne. Thanks, Gunnar.
Thanks, Brent.